Hello, and welcome back to another episode of The Tempo, the official podcast of the Kappa Kappa Psi Alumni Association. We are your hosts, Sav,
Mark,
and Tori.
And today, we are talking about jumping into the adult world post-graduation and staying connected to music after school. Before we begin, we'd like to remind everyone, whether it's day or night, that today is going to be a great day. And we hope you're doing well and that all the positive vibes are coming your way.
All right, well, here we are.
All right.
Tori, what do you have for us?
Never having looked at these questions at all. Let's hear it.
What did you find most challenging post-graduation?
Finding a job. Like, that's my answer.
All in all. Well, what is your profession again, Sav?
So I'm in the geosciences. I currently work as a hydrogeologist. And so that's probably why it was hard, because my field is smaller. It's, you know, it's not like everywhere. So it's a little bit more challenging. And also the geosciences in general are losing a lot of people. So finding a job is hard. And it's also, it's a science-based profession. So it's very dependent on experience. And I was in college during COVID. And so I didn't have a lot of hands-on field experience because everything got canceled, you know? So coming in with like not a lot of experience on your resume is really challenging.
Is your job more like in the field based, or is it like remote? Can it be both? Like, what did it require most? Like,
right now it's kind of a mixture of both. I do half remote, half in office, and I do field work every fall and every spring. But other positions do field work much more often. It just depends on what exactly you're doing. But yeah, that's a big component, is having field experience, showing that you know how to do different techniques if you're going to be out there doing stuff. And for me, that was really challenging, because I was like, well, I have one little bit of field work that I did in COVID, but it was, you know, we had to change things just to even be on campus. So that was a big challenge for me, is finding a job when you have little to no experience.
Right. I was thinking, I'm like, oh, I'm going to ask Tori, wait, what have you found most challenging the past month?
The past month?
I was going to say, like, what do you think now? Like, are you facing anything challenging? Because you just graduated, right?
Quite literally a month ago. I walked in May, but I'm still finishing up my internship. So by all, you know, normal circumstances, I am alumni. Almost. Right now, I'm kind of juggling the last bit of my internship, but the last bit of my internship wraps up in August. On top of, I have a normal, like 9 to 5, which is fun and has nothing to do with my degree. But
what is your internship and degree now? I don't remember.
My degree is specifically, it's a bachelor's in music, yada yada yada. But I'm music technology, which is production and live sound, that kind of thing. And my internship is with a public radio station. And right now they're moving buildings, so it's a lot of physical labor. My first day I was putting industrial shelving together, so I got my butt handed to me.
You're like, this is not in the job description.
And it was one of the days where they had, like, construction crews in and out of the building the whole time. So the AC had no time to catch up, and it was one of those over 100 days in Texas. So super fun time. And it was very humid. Could have been raining all week. My part of Texas is not supposed to be that humid.
Are you looking for, like, employment elsewhere after your internship, or do you want to try to stay there? Or
For me right now, I'm kind of in the realm of my... Everything is really expensive right now. So after I wrap up my internship, the kind of plan that I've figured out that hopefully will work out in the long run is to stick around where I'm at for about a year, give or take, and then get out. I live in a miserable city and I don't want to be here any longer than I need to be, but I have to make money in order to move. And my plan is for about a year after I'm done with everything is to save up, and then around like 8 months out of that year to start applying and just see what sticks and then move wherever. I have some goal cities in mind, but for now, I'm just worrying.
No, that's a challenge. I mean, I think a lot of people, their first jobs post-graduation are kind of like, maybe not your ideal job, but it's something that's like a stepping stone, you know, start making a little money, plan for where you do want to go. And that can be a challenge, like deciding whether you want to keep trying to get your ideal job or if you want to take a maybe not as fun position, but something that'll at least get you where you're going.
Everything that I'm not doing, pretty much. fresh out of graduation, I lined up a job at internship with the Disney College program in Florida. So I had my next like 5 months kind of like set out for me, and I just wanted to go there just to like see if I can make connections and stuff, which I made friends. Didn't quite make the same connections because I also moved across the country like months after graduating, and so I just cut off all physical and emotional, well, not emotional, like physical ties with friends, and so it was a bit tough for me in that aspect. But coming back, I immediately just got a job at Starbucks because of another friend, and I've been there ever since. So although I'm trying to move up, the challenge for me post-graduation is what I went to college for relevant now? I mean, I went to college for film, filmmaking, and, you know, I had all these big aspirations, and I was like, cool, if I go to Disney, maybe I'll meet some people at Disney. I mean, even though I'm in the parks, I can still know people, and those know people will help me know other people. Didn't quite work out that way because I got homesick, so I just came home after my program ended. But yeah, it's like, do I find what's relevant that I went to college for? And then, or do I just do something else that'll be good on a piece of paper that other people will like, you know? So being in management or being in leadership, it's funny. We say being in leadership from like the band perspective is like the equivalent of like being in management, but being in management, at Starbucks is like, it looks great, but I don't feel like I'm getting anywhere right now. So the challenge is still pretty real, even though I've been out of college for a little bit. But it, you know, it's funny how I love what I went to college for, but I also love a lot of other things that are kind of over that part right now. You know what I mean? Overseeing the degree, so to speak. And it's still pretty tough to find that. That's why when we were talking before we were recording, Sav, about Seattle, it's like, I love the art scene in Seattle. Having gotten to go there and like look around on my own, I loved seeing all the local artists and like all of the shops too, and all the stuff like that. And I was like, man, that's so cool. It's so inclusive. And so that was a big like plus for wanting to move out that direction. There's a big art scene out there, and I love doing art to tie it together.
It's kind of like an internal battle sometimes because, you know, it's like you choose to get a degree in something you're passionate about, which is great. That's yes. But also, like, you know, people are always like, we'll get something that's practical, you know? And so it's like that internal battle of like, I want to do this, but is it too challenging to do what I actually want to do? Yeah. And that's a very real thing. That's why there's so many people who, you know, just never get into whatever field that they wanted to get into, because it is challenging mm-hmm. trying to jump into a world where you have people who have years and years of experience on you and years of education, years of whatever. And you're like, how do I establish myself early on and make it happen? And it's a challenge. It's not easy at all.
Yeah, because, I mean, I don't get me wrong, I love all the stuff I went to college for, but I ended up spending more of my time centered around the band side of things and the leadership side and the KSI side, so, like, it all ties together. So, like, I have all of those skill sets that people in my major found their own ways or perhaps didn't have in the same space that I did. So it's like, I have that on paper, but it's hard to show that when you don't know somebody, if that makes sense. Like, it's hard to show you, like, what I'm capable of and tell you that I've had, what, like, 10 to 15 years experience in leadership. But how do I show you that when you don't know me? Rather than, like, hey, I went to school for this thing and I've been doing this thing for 8 years. Oh, well, that makes sense. But that's the challenging part is what I spent 4 years of my life for relevant anymore.
And it's hard when you move, because I was in the same boat as you. I, you know, moved across the country. It would have been a month before I graduated with my master's. So I was in a brand new place where I knew nobody, had no connections, couldn't, like, hit up someone and say, hey, I got my degree, you know? And so it was like, new degree, new place, new people. You're like, where do you start from there? It's a challenge for sure. And it took me a while to actually land a position. And at the time it was a temp position, definitely wasn't my ideal position, but I took it and I was like, this is the door's opening. I'll take it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard though, for sure. And it's scary too, because usually, you know, if we're talking bachelor's degrees, you know, you're getting out of college, you're maybe 21, 22, like, you're fresh into the adult world and you're like, oh man, this is like, this is scary.
Please accept me.
Literally, please. I'm begging.
Kind of leapfrogging off of the band leadership idea, and kind of how that ties into being a brother. How is being a member of the Wow, that's not English. how is being a member of the National Alumni Association for Kappa Kappa Psi different from being an active member in a chapter?
I think the first thing out of college is just more chill, because we don't have our set goals and responsibilities from day to day to day that we are always being involved in, right? When you were in band, you had a class. And you're pretty much there, like, multiple times a week. You're always in the scene. You're always around those people, weekly chapter meetings or what have you. And then you graduate, and it's like, that stuff exists out there, but it's, like, month-to-month basis of doing that stuff, you know what I mean? Or a lot more spread out. And I wouldn't say less responsibility, but, like, less hands-on, more, like, personal or remote, like, obligations.
I've definitely had to force myself to stop getting involved, if that makes sense. I still live in the general area of my chapter, of my home chapter, and I have had to stop myself and be like, I am alumni now, I love them, they're my babies, but they can handle it. I was only active for 3 years, and two of those years I was on like executive council. So I was constantly like, hey, we need to get this done, we need to get this done, we need to get this done. And it was like, let go of the reins.
I think in some ways there's, like, more opportunities on the alumni side, because, you know, like you mentioned, Mark, in your active chapter, there's very set responsibilities and meetings, and there's a lot you can do on the alumni side. You can be involved in different committees and different positions, and you can put in a lot of time, but also if you know, we all have life as well. We're all adults, so, like, you can put in a little less time. You can kind of, like, feel out and see where it fits best in your, you know, your life schedule, which is nice. And it's given opportunities to meet, you know, people on the board of directors and like Dino and meet other brothers from all around the country. Like I never would have met you guys if I had just been at my home chapter. So there, in some ways there's more opportunities, but it can also, it's different because I'm so far from my home chapter. So I see my chapter growing and I'm like, oh my God, I'm old. Who are these people? Like, I don't recognize these names anymore. They're out of, you know, they're in band and I've been out of band for quite a few years. So, yeah, it's definitely different. But it's not bad. I mean, you can still be very much connected in a lot of ways. And for me, I was a alumni relations chair when I was in my chapter. So I can kind of use that and all of the knowledge I bring from the alumni side and bring it back to my actives and be like, hey, here's a bunch of information about the alumni world. If you have questions, like, I'm here to answer them. So you can kind of use your knowledge that you get on the alumni side and bring it back to your chapters, which is important, especially for my chapter, because we're a little baby chapter. You know, we started in 2017, so we're still pretty young. And I think that's really beneficial to the active members of my chapter.
I didn't know that I was also, the 2 years I was on council, I was also the alumni relations person. But yeah. My chapter was old. My chapter was, I think my chapter was officially started in the 40s. Wow. So, yeah. Been around a hot minute.
I was actually the first alumni relations chair that we had because now it's a required position to have, but it wasn't, you know, until I think this past biennium. So I was the first alumni relations chair and it was great to like get all this knowledge. And I think it's been helpful, you know, with having such a young chapter, it's pretty useful to be able to share all that information with the actives and hopefully bring more people into the alumni side in whatever capacity, you know, they choose to serve.
I think, so one of when I was the alumni chair, one of the things that I did have, I guess, difficulty with was, like, maintaining a consistent connection with our alumni, because there's always that handful that will consistently, they'll be like, hey, what do y'all need? But kind of reaching out to the alumni that are not necessarily as involved or kind of don't want to be involved was one of the hard points that I struggled with. But I had a entire train of thought and I completely lost it.
No, you're definitely not, you're not alone in that. I struggle with that too, because you got to think about it, you know, we're not in college anymore where you have more free time. We have bills to pay, we have jobs, like we have lives, people are getting married or having kids or whatever, and time constraints are very real. And so I think that's probably a universal struggle that everyone faces, is like pulling alumni back and trying to keep alumni involved, especially if they're not in the alumni association, but they're just involved in like your chapter alumni. I think that's where LAAs can become beneficial. Honestly, you can, cause then you know, you do have those committed brothers who are still in there, but it's different. I mean, it's no longer a requirement. It's something that you choose to do. And that's a big shift in people. So you have to find a way to keep those people like still coming back and serving in some sort of capacity, but they also have to want to do that.
I think that's where my train of thought was kind of going, is now that I'm kind of on the other side of the fence, I guess, I could totally understand why someone wouldn't necessarily be as involved or be able to put in as much time or for whatever reason, you know, keep being around. I could totally understand it. Mm-hmm. Life happens. Your priorities change over time. And, you know, day jobs and marriage and kids and whatever else is a goal for someone in life can totally shift away from an organization that you that helped you get through school. Totally normal thing, totally understandable.
Yep.
So as people that chose to stay involved with KSIO as an organization and continue to serve in the Alumni Association, why did you decide to continue with it?
For me, I think it's honestly just because I love Kappa Kappa Psi. And I love serving and helping in whatever capacity I can. And like I mentioned, me previously have like been an alumni relations chair. With my chapter being so young, I think it's also important to have people from my chapter join, you know, in different aspects of the Alumni Association so that I can kind of bridge that gap with my chapter and keep helping them grow and help pull more of them into the Alumni Association. There goes my cat scratching on my chair. but at the end of the day, I think it's because I love Kappa Kappa Psi. I love our fraternity. I love serving. I love band and music and the brothers that this fraternity has brought me. So I wouldn't want to, you know, not serve.
I think I continued to serve. Well, first, I didn't continue to serve straight out of graduation because I really didn't know like what my place was, where my place could be. Like I always wanted to like do something to some aspect, right? At the time, my chapter didn't have an LAA, and all we have in the Western District right now, at least right now, is just the Western District Alumni Association. I think back then we had two other ones, but even then, like I didn't really have an immediate resource. And so I've always wanted to continue in some aspect, and over the past few years, it's been a little easier to find that sort of avenue, right? And just kind of talking with Dino more the past couple of years since being more involved with the WDAA has opened up the possibilities. I just like to be involved in things, I'll be honest. A little bit of it involves FOMO. I'll be so transparent because I just like communication style things. So when I first joined in the WDA a few years ago, I did communications type stuff. So I did like social media posting, staying involved socially on a PR side of things. And then through that, Dino contacted me about the Alumni Association comms and like doing more things in that sense. And I just like the idea of graphic design and doing things from this is from more of like a, how do I say, not an overview, like existential type of vibe. This is more like a practical side of thing. The things I like doing are making things organized and doing graphic design and art and stuff. So I found that through communications, through like organizing emails and through like making like a social media post look pretty and readable and presentable and not skippable. You know what I mean? So that side of things is why I love to continue. And through this avenue, I get to do it in a KSI setting or KSI and TBS with WDAA. So I like being able to be a part of something that makes it easier to be an alumni. I use that phrase a lot in my life, like make it easier to be a customer at work, make it easier to be, you know, a coworker, a barista, make it easier to be a band person when I'm teaching band in the fall. The same thing with KSI is like when in the Alumni Association, just trying to find ways to make it easier to be an alumni. You know, I didn't know these things like 8 years ago when I graduated. What can I contribute to making it easier for alumni now to know and how to be involved? And any small thing matters. That's why I love that we're doing this podcast, because it's just more of a natural and like human side of things. Can be a little transparent in that way.
Yeah, I think we all have like our own reasons for why we like decided to serve on the alumni side, but I can definitely say like the brothers keep me wanting to serve on the alumni side. Just like we all love Dino, we love Liz, our chair, like I love you guys, like the brothers that you meet and you get to work with keep you wanting to do it because everyone's there for the same purpose and shares the same goals, even if we are in completely different careers and different places in our lives. But like, the brothers keep me wanting to come back.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was one of the things that kind of came up. So evidently, all roads lead back to Dino. whenever I like got done with school, I kind of was like, I was missing, for lack of a better phrase, I was missing that itch of like doing something, and it just happened to be a conversation of, so this is not the first podcast that I've been a part of. This is the first one where I'm actually in it, but
right.
I've previously edited a or been on the production for a radio show, and on which is I'm no longer a part of. I kind of graduated out of that one, but the other one I'm still working with is a for my local chapter of the League of Women Voters, and it's a podcast where she interviews like experts on different political issues or people that are running for stuff locally, that kind of thing. It came up that I do podcast work, and Dino's like, hey.
Of course.
My whole involvement with the Alumni Association was because Dino's like, hey, we've wanted to do this thing. How do you feel about that? I thought I was only going to be editing this. That is not what happened.
We fooled you.
I got bamboozled.
That's how we get you. First he tells you you're good at something, and then he says, hey, come do it.
Yeah. When we started talking about, like, oh, a podcast, how do we feel? I was like, that's a great idea. He came to me, and he was like, I have a brother. and I'm going to put her in your subcommittee. And I was like, okay, cool. And then we were just like, all right, Tori, you're stuck. You can't escape now.
Yeah, well, and I showed up, and I wasn't officially alumni yet. And they're like, yeah, we can't do anything yet. But, hey. So I'm here now. And I do things.
And that's your Kappa Kappa Y.
Mm-hmm. it's kind of the beautiful thing, though, because like you mentioned, Mark, like you like the communication side. And for me, like that's the same. Like I've always, in other organizations I'm in, I've always ran like social medias. Like I like making graphics and outreach and stuff. So you can kind of find your like niche for like what you're good at and apply that to, you know, whatever committee, because there's so many different committees. If you're good at planning and fundraising and programs, like you can find what you're good at. You're not stuck in something just because you were put into a position. You can say, oh, I'm actually good at this sort of thing. So I can apply my skills here, which is really nice.
Because we're not the only like Alumni Association committee either. There's a lot, and there's new ones popping up too now with the jurisdiction one that just started, right? It's a good point. And you can be like, hey, I do this in my professional career, Tori. And here's how I can help, Tori, at the podcast. And then maybe you can find your niche that way too, Tori.
Yeah.
Somebody said it earlier. What is your Kappa Kappa Y?
I'm just thinking how I like how it looks. Like Kappa Kappa is capitalized. The Y is lowercase, but the Psi looks like that's just perfect. It's like fireside chats. You know, it's just like, it just fits right in.
My home chapter, my junior year of college.
Questionable junior year.
It's mostly because COVID was messy and it skipped a year. So I don't know, somewhere
right
in there.
The void year.
Uh-huh. Yeah, one of those, I think that was my sophomore year that didn't have marching band. I'm pretty sure it was my junior year. Junior year, my home chapter, I was not a brother yet. They had maroon shirts, which our school's colors are maroon and white. And it said, ask me what my Kappa Kappa Y or... or it just like asked me, and that was the shirts that they wore on the first day of summer band. I already knew what the org was because my best friend was the VPM for my chapter, and my other best friend was also, like, had just become active the semester previously. So I already knew what was going on, and I knew I was going to join eventually, but those are still some of the cutest shirts. I never got one, though. I'm so sad.
It's a hard question. What is your Kappa Kappa Y?
Because, like, I can tell you why I joined, but I don't know if that would define, like, my Kappa Kappa Y, right?
Thought process. So, obviously, you joined Kappa Kappa Psi. And because it is a college organization, you could have left at any time. I had friends that joined either the Brotherhood or the Sisterhood, and eventually did not, make that transition to being alumni and decided to go inactive during their time. So what made you stick around? Why did you want to stick around?
Honestly, for me, I think it always goes back to Brotherhood. Some of my best friends who are like lifelong friends are people I've met in Psi. And that's always been a big part. You know, I've said previously in other questions that a lot of the work that I do on the alumni side, I try to bring back to the active brothers. And so for me, it's the brotherhood. It's that connection. And a big part for me too, is being a military spouse. I move around a lot. You know, I've lived in many different states. And brotherhood is something that exists regardless of where you go. I'm always attached to my home chapter, but you know, I'm from the Northeast District and I now live in the Western District, and I've reached out and met brothers from the Gamma chapter at the University of Washington. And like, regardless where I go, you know, I'm off to Missouri next, and I know that there's a chapter there at Missouri Science and Tech where I hopefully will be going to school as long as I get in. But the brotherhood is something that it follows you wherever you go. There's always brothers, and you can always rely on those brothers. Some of my brothers have been there during some really great times and some really hard times, and they've gotten me through that. So my why is always the people. It's the brotherhood. It's the connection. It's the love that you share, you know, with your brothers. And that's why I do what I do.
That's one of the things that I do really like about the Meeting Grounds Facebook, where it's like someone's like, hey, I'm moving to this random city in the middle of nowhere. Is there a brother here? And there's always somebody. Every single time, yeah. There's always at least one comment that's like, oh, I live 10 minutes from there, or I'm less than an hour from there. And it's like always, you'll find somebody somewhere.
Or when people are traveling and there's like, they're like, hey, is there a brother I can crash in your couch? Like, I feel like that's the one and only time you allow like a completely random stranger yes. to just sleep on your couch.
Absolutely.
Because you're like, oh, you're a brother. You're not going to like murder me at night.
Well, this past NatCon, my chapter's from Texas. We drove like psychopaths. So it was supposed to be like 23 and a half hours, and we drove it straight.
Nope.
Well, mm-mm. there was five of us, so we took turns driving. I drove us to Dallas, and I was told I wasn't allowed to drive anymore because I misread a license plate. But before we left, there was an alumni that reached out to, I think it was Dino, and there was like, and it wasn't even someone from our chapter, it was someone else. They were like, oh, hey, I heard your people are driving. If they go through, I think it was Nashville, and they want to crash on my living room floor for a couple of hours, just let me know. And we were like, that's so sweet. It's 6 hours out of the way, but that's so sweet. So
yeah, there's always that connection. Yeah. You always have people. You know, you always have a tribe. Like we've talked about, if you, you know, jump into a new career and you move, like Mark's talking about wanting to move to the Seattle area, like, you know, you're going to go there not knowing people, but you'll have brothers somewhere in the area. And so Like, you always have some sort of a tribe wherever you go. And that's really important, especially if you're fresh out of college and you're jumping into your career and you're moving somewhere new. It's important to have people. So, like, wherever you go, there's a brother.
Mm-hmm. I can't remember. I am so bad at names. I can remember a face, and I can remember their speaking voice, and I remember them saying that they had... that they were a brother on their resume, and it helped them get their first job. And I am completely blanking on their name. I think it was at one of the presentations at NACON, but like they were saying, like it is something that can help you. It's not just something to goof off in. Like it will help you professionally.
Yeah, you never know. You could apply for a job and your manager could be a brother or a sister or something. And then you're like, connection, hire me.
Mm-hmm. Or so in Amarillo, I've accidentally bumped into brothers, not from my home chapter. But our home chapter is in Canyon, 15 minutes away from Amarillo. I just had a random, on the night of one of our first degrees, I had to go to, we had a really, really big initiating class. So, we didn't have enough MC pins. In panic, we bought like blue ribbons to pin them with instead. And I had to like run to the craft store and I ran into a brother from a New Mexico chapter because I had letters on.
I feel like anytime I travel, I'm always like, does someone see my letters? Do they see the crest on my backpack? Is someone gonna know me?
Does someone see my keychain?
Yeah, right? Like, hi. I have a decal on my car, and I'm always secretly hoping somebody will post me in the meeting grounds and be like, hey, whose car is this? And I'm like, that's mine. It's my car. It's me.
The best form of recognition.
Yeah.
I was gonna say that one of the friends I had in my class when I went through is the person who helped me get a job at Starbucks because he was working in the Valley when I came back. But like even before then, traveling across the country, like I mentioned earlier when I moved to Florida for the college program, Disney College program, never would have thought like, you know, maybe I'm going to wear my letters and see someone at the parks today or something. And then sure enough, I'm like in the Space Mountain like cart, and you go around a track and you stop before they like send you on your way. They go and check your belts, and the guy checking belts is like a brother, and he's like, hey, and like immediately just got like, you know, said hey back, and he was a brother, and then went on the meetings ground later, and everyone helped like source find this person because I was like, I was here at this time at this day doing this, and everyone's like, was it this, was it this, was it? And then the one person finally responds like, that was me, it was so cool. It's just like the meeting ground thing is also a really awesome resource for all the fun ways too.
I love that group, it's so fun. What is something that you wish you could tell your past self to prepare you for post-graduation life?
Ooh. That's a good question, too.
Hey, join freshman year? I waited until my junior year, and it was just the circumstance. My freshman year, I got... So my chapter, my home chapter does bids weird. We basically, rather than, you know, give bids to people who have shown interest or... specific I guess practices, my chapter we have rules where we have to give a bid to everyone in marching band, so if you're on the roster you get a bid, and if you turn in a bid, if you return it back to the chapter that's like, hey, I'm interested, you're in. Our process is unique, I've been told. And I got one my freshman year, and something happened, and I ended up not turning it in, and there was, like, half of the trombone studio were brothers, so they're like, hey, like, are you good? Or, like, because I had talked about being interested, but I think the day that bids were due, I was still on the fence, and I had a funeral to go to, and they're like, I can talk to the brothers. You can turn it in late. It's okay. We want you. And then I didn't turn it in. And then sophomore year happened, which was COVID. So that didn't happen either. And then junior year happened. And finally, my best friend Nadia I knew that I had filled it all out, and she's like, she straight up took it out of my hand, so I couldn't stop myself from not turning it in. Great times.
I think for the adult world aspect of it, if I could tell my past self something, I would say just trust the process. I jumped into a master's program right after my bachelor's program, which is totally fine. You know, some people choose to wait, some people don't. And I was like, let's just keep going. Let's keep the momentum. And, you know, like I said, with COVID and stuff, it was difficult. And I struggled after my master's degree to find a job. And I took it really hard. It was like, I was kind of like banging my head against a wall, because I was like, how do I get into my field? How do I make the, you know, 5 years I just did in school worth my while, you know? And not to mention, of course, you have bills to pay and stuff. You're like, I need a job. I need money. So I would probably tell myself, just to trust the process. And I've given a presentation on establishing yourself as like an early career geoscientist. And that's one thing I'd said is to network and trust the process and take every opportunity you can, because you never know where an opportunity can lead. You know, take that temp position because it could turn into a full-time position, or, you know, and just network yourself. Don't be afraid to reach out and say, hey, you know, I'm new and I need experience or something. I did that before I moved here. I reached out to a professor at the University of Washington, Tacoma. And I was like, hey, you know, I'm just out of school and I'm trying to kind of get out there. And she was like, well, let's like meet up for coffee. Let's chat. And she, you know, she's been in the field a long time. She's like total boss. And she offered me to do some summer research with her. So I'm currently doing that. Like once a week, I go up to the campus and I help her with her students. They're doing some lab work that I've done previously. And so it's not paid, it's on my own time, but like that's experience and that's a connection. She knows a lot of people and she's been really beneficial. You know, she's helped me with my application to go back to school and looked over my resume, given me pointers and stuff. So I honestly would tell myself to just trust the process. It doesn't happen overnight. And just be open to any opportunities, be open to feedback, and just make the best out of it. You know, enjoy the journey of getting to where you want to go, because you're going to learn a lot as you try to establish yourself in the adult world. So just enjoy it and take in all that you can, and then share that information with other people and help other people in the process. You know, like when you get to the point you want to be, look back and say like, okay, what did I do that really helped? And then share that information with other people so that maybe other people don't struggle as much too. But just trust the process and enjoy it. It's all a part of, you know, the adult life and getting to where you want to go.
I don't know if I have much input on this one, because I kept thinking about it the past few minutes. Most of what I thought would happen when going into graduate or going into post-graduation, I thought like I'll just figure it out along the way too. But I didn't really have much lined up the way that other people might have in fields similar to mine, like internships, or not including the Disney one, but internships related to their field or connections in those types of ways. I felt like I'll find my answers when I go to Disney, or I'll find my answers another way. I don't know. I'm trying to tell myself, think of like what I would want to know, but I think the overall vibe is pretty similar to Sav's, that everything is still going to work out, but get involved early, and don't be afraid to put your foot in the door, because that's something I definitely struggle with. A lot of my major involved lots of foots and lots of doors, and that's something very outside my comfort zone. But it's still going to work out in some way. You know, you may not be doing exactly what you want, but you'll have a job and you'll be doing things that, you know, you still like to do, and you're still involved with what you want to be involved with. And it may not be what you set out to do, but it'll still be something that'll pave the way for what you want to do in the future. And I'm still on that path too. So it may not work out exactly as you thought, but it's still going to work out, if that makes sense. Because it was very much like stepping into a void, coming back from the college program in like August. I was there for like 5 months and I just came back and I was like, cool, now what? And it took like, you know, a couple months to find the job that I'm at right now. So.
And there's no set timeline. I think a lot of people assume like, post-graduation, I have to get a job in my field. Like there is no timeline. It can take time. And everyone, it's different for everyone. Mm. It's very dependent on where you live, the field you're in, you know, like your job, your ideal job may not be everywhere. You know, it doesn't happen overnight at all. It can take months. It can take years. And putting yourself out there is really scary. You know, I don't like just saying, hi, you know, this is me. Hello. You know, it's scary. I think it gets easier over time, the more you do it, but it's intimidating. The adult world is intimidating.
To shift gears just a little bit. I am kind of still involved in music, sort of. Podcast work is a little maybe depends.
Music is audio and you're involved in audio.
I still record and edit music. It's just not what pays the bills. I would love to be able to do it as like a full-time job. It not happening anytime soon. I don't have enough of a portfolio to be able to do that yet. But what is your current affiliation with music? And how do you still manage to balance music into your life? And if it's not there, what's up?
I listen to Spotify every day, and that's it. Hey, everybody in the whole country is a part of KSI now, if that's all it takes. Well, I'll go. I want to be involved with a community band, but I'm not. So the extent of actually playing my instrument comes down to like once or twice a year when it's like an alumni band, or if I'm involved with my other like secondary job. And that other job is my primary affiliation with music, so to speak. But I help teach band during the fall with my it's my high school band director, but she's moved to a different school since I graduated, so I just followed with her. But I help teach band camp. I help lead the marching side of things, and then it just carries over throughout the year. So I do the weekly rehearsals, the competitions. I'll try to make it to home games too to help out. That's pretty much it. I'm basically been like a tech, like the equivalent of like a marching tech of some sort, because we never really used to do staff ever. So it's really just alumni that wanted to help. She's a little traditional in that sense. And everyone else has kind of come and gone, and I'm still, you know, sticking around because I love doing it. But I have like the more professional title of being assistant band director, even though it's less of the actual band directorness, if that makes sense. I find myself as a glorified tech. But I stick through that throughout the entire fall season, and it's really super fun. And it gets me still in the marching band scene. So that's my current involvement.
I played in a local concert band for about 5 or 6 months. I did have to cut back on it though, just because of time constraints. You know, I work full time and I teach, you know, college on the side, and rehearsals were Mondays from 7 to 9 p.m. And I loved playing in the concert band setting again, but it was kind of difficult to have a whole day of doing work and stuff, and then to shift and go to rehearsals and be there till 9 and then come home and go to sleep and wake up the next day for work. And so I did have to cut back on that. I would love to jump into it again, but I didn't want to spread myself too thin with everything that I do. So again, that's a challenge of adult world. But I also try to stay involved with high school bands. The director who runs the local concert band is a band director at the high school. So I try to, during marching season, help with their band camp and, you know, their drill and marching fundamentals, and try to go. I did go with them to some competitions last fall. So I try to stay involved that way, but it's all kind of time dependent. If I can come and help out, I definitely will try to, but I can't always make that happen. So I do want to get more into playing again. But yeah, alumni day too, you know, I definitely try to go back for my college alumni days. Those are always really fun. So yeah, I try to stay involved that way.
Do y'all know of ways that people can find local bands?
I remember local my first bands.
English is just not happening today. Do y'all know of ways that people can find local bands to perform with? And
I couldn't tell if you froze or not. I was like,
thank you.
I'm not the only one with internet issues.
The loading bar in Tori's head is just circling.
Yeah, the hamster stopped. He had to take a break, and now he's going to jump back on.
Dude, I think the hamster had a heart attack.
Oh, my God.
Opportunities to find local bands, I think, is where you're going.
Yes.
How to stay involved.
Yes. So do y'all know of ways that people can find local bands to perform with, and or other ways for people to stay involved? That's an English sentence.
I think for me, being so far out of college, the only, I mean, without doing like research on my own, if I were to strictly go off of word of mouth, I guess I would, there's a few friends that I have in the Valley that are still found ways to stay involved with local bands, and I see them post about it from time to time. Like, typically that would be my go-to source, would be asking them like how they got involved with where they are and if it's worth it where they are, because I can read about all these bands online but not have an idea of how they are or when they meet or all that's, you know, it's one thing to read about it. It's another thing to have someone like talk to you more about it too. So I'd say, reaching out to other people who either you hopefully you might know are involved in a local band of some sort and seeing what they think about it. If not, I know that, our college, or university offers, community member classes that you can go in and join, which I forgot was a possibility. I'll be so honest. I was actually talking about it at work like last week with some coworkers. One person is involved in a local mariachi band at ASU, and I was like, why haven't I thought about joining a college band, like a community band in that sense? Like, I can join as a community member. I know I have to pay a fee probably, but that could also be an alternative, because when I was in college, I was pretty much just involved in marching band the whole time. I didn't do a concert band, but I did take up a steel band class, and I loved it. So, like, the opportunities for other options that aren't just marching band are definitely out there somewhere.
My home school had a kind of community band called Town and Gown, and it was a lot of not just like Brotherhood alumni or alumni, but like school alumni, and then a lot of students would like fill in the gaps in the band, and most of them were on like not their primary instrument to kind of make it more of a less like we're gonna go compete kind of band and more like a we're just here yeah. for the fun of it kind of thing.
But if like if marching band is like your favorite type of band and you know you maybe don't want to play in the concert setting, you can always just reach out to your high schools nearby. Like most high schools, not all of them, but most of them have a marching band program. And I mean, I don't think it's pretty typical that they're going to turn away a volunteer. You know, if you want to help on the marching band aspect, just reach out to like local high schools and reach out to the directors and say like, hey, you know, I want to help out. You know, do you want someone to help tech or help with drill or whatever? And I mean, that's a great opportunity to get involved if you want to stick with more of the marching band sense and not like a playing sense.
That's true. Yeah, because I'll be honest, I'm one of the few people in my friend group who like really loved marching band, like the physical side of stuff. I was not I am not the most physically able or adept or in shape person, but I loved staying active is really what it was, and getting out and doing things, like going outside, really. As someone who does not go outside often, you know, there isn't really an option for like that marching band side of thing for us, you know what I mean, the physical side. So the closest we probably are gonna get is reaching out and asking for support. But weirdly enough, and I never knew this is a thing, I don't know how involved you guys are with Color Guard or Winter Guard or know much about that scene. Apparently there's a group that is meant for like alumni or postgraduates, like a whole group that also competes, and there's like a whole national thing. I'm very unknowledgeable about, but I have a friend who's, you know, a couple years younger than me, and she's involved, and she's still doing guard, like full-on color guard, not just as a teacher, but like involved. And I'm like, there's a whole group for that. Why don't they have that for people who really want to do marching band? And then sometimes
I didn't know this until this year, because I have a brother who is doing this, but like there are all age class like drum corps bands.
That's
like,
what I mean.
I didn't know that. Yeah. And I have a friend who's doing color guard in the Bushwhackers right now. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I thought there was age limits, but there's literally like an entire all age class.
That's what so I was going for. Yeah.
If your knees and your back allow you to physically still march, that's totally an option though. Like they're in Jersey and they're going to be competing. And I was looking online and there's actually like quite a number of all age class bands. And I was like, that is so cool.
Never knew that's an option.
I thought you would age out and that was it. So yeah. So like if you still physically can do that, then that's definitely like an option, which I think is super, super cool.
What's also super, super cool is the Kappa Kappa Psi Alumni Association is proudly affiliated with the Association of Concert Bands. Our partners continue to foster the mission of excellence in concert band music through performance, education, and advocacy. Some of the resources they offer include the Find a Band directory, the ACB Connects series, and much more. So if you're interested in finding a program near you, please check out the Find a Band directory. We can't encourage you enough to continue music after graduation. And for more information, please visit acbands.org.
It's a great way to find a local band. You'll probably not know that they're around you.
Absolutely.
So speaking of the general topic of, you know, being an adult and making life decisions and whatnot, do y'all have any tips or tricks for job hunting?
Ooh,
don't look at me.
Yes.
As someone who still tries to job hunt, I'm pretty much not gonna have a great response here. I do say that I have a LinkedIn and I checked in. I have a LinkedIn and I check it from time to time, and get extremely intimidated by stuff like that, because that's very much the, oh, man, this job looks so cool to me. Oh, okay, 10 years of experience. What does that mean? Okay, skip. You know what I mean? Like that, I would want to say that's a great resource because it is probably going to show you what places are looking for, but it's a little intimidating. What else do you guys have?
So I have, I guess, three main tips, because I did give a presentation on something similar to this for a different organization. My first tip is to have multiple versions of your resume and cover letter, because sometimes you have to take out information that may not be relevant. like, for example, I have teaching experience. So when I'm applying for like a certain job, maybe that's more field-based, I might not include all of my teaching experience or all of like, yeah, I can use Canvas and Blackboard and Moodle and all this and that, because it may not be relevant to that position. You want to obviously target what you're applying for and have different versions of your cover letter. Like my cover letter for teaching jobs is very different than my field jobs, because I want to talk about my teaching, you know, perspective and like how I connect with students and that sort of thing. So have multiple versions and kind of tune it to what you're applying for. So that's my first tip. The second one is to network. LinkedIn, like you mentioned, it's a great source. It can be intimidating, but go ahead and like follow your like quote unquote like goal organizations. They do post jobs up there. Connect with people who work at those organizations. You don't even have to personally know them. Kappa Kappa Psi is on LinkedIn, if anyone didn't know that. but just like connect and network with people, because, you know, you can post, like you could post a picture like, hey, I'm going to this conference. Someone else might also be there and could comment and be like, hey, I'm going to go too. Let's like meet up and chat. And then boom, now you have a connection with somebody, and that you never know. Like you can find jobs by just knowing people. Yeah. And my last tip, which is like a really big one for me, is if you see a job on LinkedIn or Indeed or Glassdoor or like whatever service you're using, always go to the actual organization's page to apply. And I say that because a lot of times, like Indeed or Glassdoor, they have like a filtering computer that just scans it. And if you don't meet certain requirements, they don't even send it to the hiring manager. And so if you go to the actual organization webpage, your application's probably going to be scanned by someone in HR, and they may see something that maybe you don't have that 10 years of experience, but there's something else that stands out that, you know, oh, they have a bunch of experience in Kappa Kappa Psi or in a different organization or whatever it may be. And they could see a potential in you that like a computer generated scan doesn't see. And also sometimes like Indeed and Glassdoor can be super outdated. There's sometimes applications that are already closed. It could be filled. And then you just spent 15, 20 minutes applying for a job. Cause we know applying for jobs is very time consuming. Yeah. So you could be applying for something that's already filled. And like, if you go to an organization webpage for one job listing, you might see like five more that you also qualify for. So you could just kind of apply for a bunch. So those are like the big tips I always tell anyone, is have multiple versions of your resume, connect on LinkedIn, add people you don't know and organizations, and then always go to the organization webpage. Do not apply through Indeed. They're great to start and find opportunities, but I feel like you have a higher success rate not applying through those like third party organizations.
Right. Those are really good. Yeah. I like those.
A little bit on the resume thing. One of my professors in, I think my senior year, irrelevant what year, but, his recommendation was that, you have both a resume and a CV, and the CV has everything. It's basically like big info dump, put everything you've ever done, high school babysitting, everything. And then resume, you tailor it to the job that you're applying for and kind of have like a general layout and everything, but you pull stuff from your CV and use that as like a build, like you use like basically like fit the Lego pieces in where they go to apply to that specific job. And it, like, once you have it, like, if you have, like, a little bit of a process or something like that, like, just slotting that information in and, like, as a building block, it kind of helps with, there's, like, a way to just, like, slot the information in as a building block so, like, your formatting on your resume is still consistent, but it's tailored to whatever you're applying for.
Yeah, and you should always, like, take words that are in the job description of like, here's all your duties. Yeah. Take those words and put them into your resume, right? Because that like that will, you know, kind of trigger like, oh, this person has what we're looking for. And yeah, like you said, you want it to be clear, consistent, easy to read, because a hiring manager is not going to read every little single word. They're scanning, they're looking for big things. So yeah, that's a really good idea to have like a brain dump and then to have like a more fine-tuned version. Yeah.
How do you find it? How do you make yourself? I literally, it's like it's just endless spinning. I have the rainbow, like the apple rainbow. The
yeah. The what is it called? The wheel, beach ball of death or something?
Something like that. Yeah. How do you make yourself stand out in a sea of recent graduates to find a good job? Don't look at me.
I mean, the best answer I've got is just be honest about your experience. It's like, it's not a bad thing to say, hey, I don't have much experience. However, I really want to learn. And because that's what I did. I was like, look, I was in college and COVID. I didn't get all the experience I wanted, but I'm really eager to learn. I'm teachable. Right. I want to learn these things. I'm open to new things. Kind of just saying, like, if you take a chance on me, like, I will put in the work, you know, to make it worthwhile.
I've seen that in both in my job field right now and also watching some other things online, like some shows. It's... It's interesting to see like people who are sponges in that sense, or want to be a sponge in that sense, where they're coming with a certain level of experience and knowledge, but also understanding that there's still plenty of room and opportunities left, and how much the people employing you or reading over these resumes or being on the other side of the interview are thinking the same thing, like, hey, they have most of the letters in the alphabet, but there's still room for them to add more. And that's something that is really, really good to see. Well, I can't think of the right way to say it, right? Being willing to hear more and learn more.
It's great to have a bunch of knowledge, but also different organizations want things done in their own way. So if you come in saying, I know how to do everything, they may say, oh, this person might be a little stuck in their ways, rather than saying, like, I have knowledge, but I'm willing to learn how you like to do things, or how I can better improve, you know, my skills. Being teachable is a really big thing in employment. I think a lot of employers really look for that.
There's also a lot of... Like, I wouldn't say I knew a lot, but I had plenty of years of experience in the general and broad sense of the term leadership through band, through college, coming out of it. But I still have found new things to implement since being a leader at my current job as well. And I overlap the two often now, you know what I mean? So things that I've learned in my current job, like, for example, the thing I said, we're making it easier to be an alumni, making it easier to be a customer, like, that kind of stuff really sticks to me as a person, something that would not have experienced the same way prior to being involved. The hamster jumped off the wheel, so I'm also...
No, that's a good answer. That's good. Yeah. That's a good tip. And that, folks, is the tempo for today.
There's no more brain power left. It's not even the hamster. It's not even the hamster fell off the wheel. It's the hamster stopped running and it's just spinning and
it's on the thing. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
As always, we would like to thank the National Alumni Association Communications Committee for making this podcast possible. The Kappa Kappa Psi Alumni Association Programs Committee has opened a call for NatCon workshop proposals. You can submit a proposal until December 31st. And to submit a proposal, please visit the Google form linked in our Instagram bio. In early July, Brother Christopher Giles, our Awards and Activities Director, resigned from the Alumni Association Board of Directors. We are grateful for his service and wish him the best in his future endeavors. On August 2nd, we opened applications for the position of Awards and Activities Director, and if you're interested, please take note of the following requirements. This information can also be found in the August edition of the Encore and on our social media pages. So, one, you need to have a few required documents, such as a cover letter, fraternal resume, recommendation letters, and a headshot photo. Two, there are multiple submission emails. The first is to the chair, marina@kksi.org, to the vice chair, miranda.cook@kksi.org, and lastly, the AABOD liaison, eric@kksi.org. Third, the deadline is September 3rd, 2024, by midnight Central Time. Again, you can find all the information in the Encore or on our social media platforms. The Awards Director is the advisor of the Awards Committee and ensures that all awards are effectively promoted throughout the year. They also bring new ideas to expand our recognitions and evaluate our current awards. The Alumni Association Board of Directors looks forward to reviewing your packets and thank you for your willingness to serve.
And thank you, listeners, for joining another episode of Kappa Kappa Psi Alumni Association, The Tempo. If you want to connect with us, you can send us an email at aacommunications@kksi.org. If you're not already following us, you can find us on Instagram and Facebook at kksiaa. We would love to hear your feedback and suggestion for future episodes. If you enjoyed your time here, be sure to subscribe to Kappa Kappa Psi Alumni Association, The Tempo, so you can stay notified when new episodes drop.
That's the end of our podcast. Have a wonderful day, and as always,
A.
E.
A.